For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture. And the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This episode brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What is up, Dodgers Nation? Welcome to the Dodgers Nation postgame show. My name is Doug McCain. You can follow me on X and Instagram at DMAC_LA. Thanks for rocking with us after the Dodgers lose to the Diamondbacks. They lose the series to the Snakes. They get shut out at home. An ugly, ugly loss for your Los Angeles Dodgers. This offense continues to struggle to put up runs. They had numerous opportunities tonight. They are 0-for-8 with runners in scoring position. I was at Dodger Stadium, so just got in for the show. So we're going to break it all down because it was not pretty at the Ravine today. Felt like this team had some opportunities. They just couldn't capitalize. Tyler Glasnow was really dominant for the first four innings. Then the fifth gave him some runs. Not all completely his fault. I think the sequence to Corbin Carroll we're going to get into in just a second here. But first and foremost, what are your big takeaways? This team was on a four-game winning streak. They've dropped their last two, just two games. So let's not overly freak out. But if you want to freak out, like I said, I don't tell you guys had a fan. So let me know where you represent Dodgers Nation from. And also comment Gohtani down below so you're eligible for our next giveaway that comes at 95,000 subscribers. We are giving away brand new authentic Dodgers Shohei Ohtani jersey. I see it's only one game. You're right. It's only one game. You can't win them all. All those things are true. Having said that, it's not pretty baseball right now. And you want to continue to establish those habits. You don't want to put yourself in a position where you're giving up at-bats. And I think there's some concerns. I mean, the strikeouts are way up for Andy Páez. Freddie Freeman struggling with runners in scoring position. Missing pitches that we saw him drive last season. Mookie Betts' defense at the shortstop position is a little concerning as well. Just missing with Aaron throws. I was at Dodger Stadium today and I interviewed Dodgers third base coach Dino Ebel. I'm going to drop that interview tomorrow on Dodgers Dugout Live. And he had some really interesting things to say about Mookie Betts and how much work it requires just to be an average shortstop. So I think there's a little frustration. I think that we're deep enough into the season at this point where it's starting to take its toll on Mookie Betts just from a body language standpoint. And you're just seeing this team at the moment just struggle to get any offense going. I mean, if you look at their last 13 games heading into this one, they're 8-5. Last 14 games, they're 8-6. 8-6 last 14 games after really being the hottest team in baseball for a nice chunk there. A couple of weeks, they were the best team in baseball. And then, look, it's going to happen. You're going to lose games. That happens. But I think it's the way you lose games and the fact this offense, if you look at the last couple of weeks, they're right towards the bottom in everything, really. Batting average, OPS, slugging, on base, strikeout rate. It's one of the highest in baseball last couple of weeks. Weighted runs created plus. You name it, they're towards the bottom in the last couple of weeks. You definitely want to reverse that trend, but we're going to break it all down here. If you haven't yet, by the way, subscribe to the channel, hit that notification bell, hit that like button. We got win or lose, I bleed Dodgers blue from Daniel Macy. It's a comment of the show right there, Daniel Macy. We got you, bro. What up, Queso Crema over on YouTube. We got Caleb Outman for Páez, Jason B. That's pretty quick. D-Mac burning that midnight oil with me. What up, Ray Soto? What up, Shane Rochester? D-Mac, what happened to the boys tonight? We're going to talk about that. Francisco Benitez, LFG. D-Mac, what up, Francisco? I hate losing. It's from Kelly Oshiro over on YouTube. Alex Renteria, they weren't into it. Richard Flores, This is a good comment here. It says, I want my 2.5 hours back. Was that short of a game? Felt like it was a longer game than that, but maybe a fire take. Anyway, hi, D-Mac. Hi, Craig Osterberg. Always rocking with us. Rain Nelson shoving meatballs right down the middle, and the Dodgers swinging and missing at all of them. Yeah, you saw them missing at pitches in the zone, particularly Freddie Freeman in big spots, particularly Andy Páez, who, in my opinion, had one of the worst at-bats of his Dodgers career in the show. I mean, he had their opportunities there, and you're right. And Nelson has had a lot of success against his Dodgers team, and that really is where we should start. That's the jumping off point right here in this one. And one of the big takeaways is you had the pitching advantage, right? You had the pitching advantage with the Dodgers ace, Tyler Glasnow, on the bump, coming off that rocky start in his last outing. You know he wanted to come in here, have a really good start, be the guy who ends that one game losing streak. I know it's not freak out, but he's the guy who's a Cy Young contender. Nelson had a 7.06 ERA heading into this one. So it was a complete opposite result than you expected. Nelson was the one having the success. He handled the Dodgers tonight, and he was good against them in his two meetings. So that makes it three against LA, where he's had a lot of success. You could tell Marte, he now has a 21-game hitting streak. He hit a home run off the foul pole off of Ryan Yarbrough late in the game that tacked on another run. But really, it start right in the first inning. So the first inning, Mookie Betts, he ends up flying out to center. Right there, the warning track, just missed it. Ohtani, he gets a base hit. And you got Ohtani at first, Freeman, he fouls to third, and then Will Smith, he strikes out swinging on a four-seam fastball up in the zone. Jump to the second inning, another opportunity for the Dodgers. Teoscar Hernandez draws a leadoff walk. Lux, he struck out looking. Páez, he lined to right. And then Jason Hayward, he struck out on a changeup on the outer half. So the strikeouts, which, like I said, the Dodgers heading into this one right towards the bottom of the league. They're ranked 23rd with the highest strikeout rate over the last couple of weeks. And you saw strikeouts as one of the big problem areas, just not putting the ball in play, unable to get things going from that standpoint. Juan says, do the Dodgers even want to win? IC says, I wonder how it feels to be... That's funny. IC says, I wonder how it feels to be a Marlins fan. Yeah, not very good. Not very good right now. Me Rojo says, it was the getaway energy. Yeah, I mean, look, this team, a nice homestand. You take 3 or 4 from the Reds, you lose 2 or 3 to the Diamondbacks. You're going to head to the Queen City to take on the Cincinnati Reds. You're going to crush all that Skyline chili. I like that interaction tonight with Joe Davis and Oral Hershiser. He's like, are you a big... Joe goes to Oral, are you a big chili guy? And then Oral thinks about it, goes, eh, not really. I love those two together, man, especially if it's a blowout game or there's not a high-leverage moment or it's not close. They really just kind of fall off the rails, and I love it talking about things other than baseball. Those guys are the best at what they do. David Sabatini, what up, D-Mac? Lots of baseball left, buddy. Absolutely, not worried at all whatsoever, but still not crisp, not clean baseball for sure. Kelly Oshiro, even Will gave up that pass ball at the end. Come on, yeah, the pass ball later. Unable to get to it. We'll get to that play. And they, of course, talking about with Ryan Yarbrough, and a tough night for the Yarbroughs. And as the founding member of the Yarbroughs, wasn't happy about that performance. MH Dodger for life. Ironically, elite pitchers having more bad starts than below average pitcher starts. Florida has the Panthers. That's for Metabolic. Brandon, against the D-backs again, I can imagine this team in the postseason again. Kermit, Dodgers Nation emergency broadcast. We got Dodgers need a day off out of gas. Absolutely. I mean, they were on a stretch where playing a lot of games consecutively at 7 straight days with the game. The offense, they're just sputtering right now. They're grinding, and they just can't string together the hit when they need it, right? I mean, they need those big base hits, and they can't get the big hit right now that really gets them into games. We got Sub D-Mac. We got IC. If history repeats itself, we should beat the Padres or D-backs in the playoffs. Don't lose their minds. Shane Rochester, them dirty snakes doing dirty snake things. SMH. We got, I hate to tell you, we're going to lose at least 20 more of these. I see Indian Wells. What up, Diane Schroeder? Appreciate the fairy godmother of the Dodgers Nation live streams. Always rocking with us. Harlan Reed says mid-Wilshire. Shane says, so we still doing the Siler Glasnow thing? Or, yeah, look, I mean, all these good pitchers are going to have their ups and downs, those bad starts. And really, lack of run support is a little bit of a factor. I mean, of course, he's not going to say anything, but last couple starts really hasn't gotten that run support. But still, he just wasn't as effective as you would have hoped. And it wasn't vintage Tyler Glasnow. I mean, Tyler Glasnow has been phenomenal for this team for the most part. Tonight, he was phenomenal and was dominant through four innings. And then in that fifth inning, things started to fall off the rails just a tiny bit. But all in all, he goes five innings, allowed three runs on four hits, had six strikeouts through 95 pitches, 61 for strikes, did get 17 swings and misses. So 17 swings and misses in five innings of work. That's still a ton of swing and miss, and you saw that stuff play. I'm not overly concerned about Tyler Glasnow and his recent starts, but you look at the bottom of the third inning. Bottom of the third, you have Mookie Betts draws a one-out double. So clearly, even though he struggled defensively, it hasn't hurt him in his ability to produce at the plate. So you still have to feel really, really good about that. But it's not really the issue as far as worrying about, oh, is that going to bleed into him struggling? Because the minute it does, I guarantee they're going to have some long conversations about that. But Mookie is able to get a double, and then Ohtani, he grounds to second, and then Freddie Freeman, he flies to right. So Freddie, he had a runner on second base, unable to come through in that situation. They need more production from Freddie Freeman. Freddie Freeman will be the first guy to tell you that he's not happy with the results that he's getting. He's getting beat on fastballs. He's getting beat on pitches in the zone. You've seen his bat speed when the StatCast data came out, it was in the 24th percentile. So that's definitely not a number that you want. And you got to look at the way they're pitching him and kind of dive deep into it. But just right now, he's just not producing. And then you jump to the bottom of the fourth inning. Teoscar Hernandez, he draws a one-out walk. That's followed up by a Gavin Lux double to right. That set the Dodgers up with runners on second and third with one out. And to me, this is one of the key at-bats of the game. You had Andy Páez at the plate with runners on second and third, and he goes down swinging on three pitches, and he misses a four-seam fastball right down Broadway, a little down in the zone, but he just flat-out missed it, and starting to become a little bit of a concern with Andy Páez, the way that those strikeouts are starting to pile up, and you're not seeing very many walks, and we know the start he got off to, really fantastic, but so far, you're starting to see him really come down to earth. He's already down to being a slightly below average bat, according to Weighted Runs Created Plus.
This episode brought to you by Progressive. Whether you're driving, cooking, or doing laundry, Progressive knows the podcasts you listen to go best when they're bundled with another activity. Much like how their Progressive home and auto policies go best when they're bundled. Having these two policies together makes taking care of your insurance easier and could help you save, too. Customers who save by switching their home and car insurance to Progressive save over $775 on average. That's a whole lot of savings and protection for your favorite podcast listening activities, like going on a road trip, cooking dinner, and even hitting the home gym. Yep, your home and your car are even easier to protect when you bundle your insurance together. Find your perfect combo. Get a home and car insurance quote at Progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $779 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states.
Now's the time to save 30% on wedding jewelry. Only on BlueNile.com. Make sure your wedding ring is the one with your pick of diamond and lab-grown diamond bands. All hand-finished and graded for excellence. Or surprise her with something blue she'll love for life, like a stunning pair of sapphire earrings. Blue Nile's jewelry experts are available 24/7 to help, from fit questions to style advice. Right now, get up to 30% off at BlueNile.com. BlueNile.com.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
He's striking out heading into this one at a 28.2% clip. The walk rate at 3.1%. So that's not a pretty number right there. So, hey, it makes you wonder what we need to see from Andy Pyles. You guys know where I stand on that is, hey, you need to see him slump to see if he can get his way out of this slump. How do you adjust when they adjust to you? He's still in that phase where, hey, they're pitching me differently. How am I going to adjust back? So that's a big key at bat because at that point, the game is still tied. It's a 0-0 game set up with second and third. If he comes through there, gets just a base hit, it's 2-0 Dodgers, and Tyler Glass now has some run support, and you're feeling really good about getting a victory tonight, but goes down on three pitches, missing in the zone, four-seam fastball up in the zone, four-seam fastball bottom of the zone, three straight fastballs in the zone, and he couldn't handle any of them. So a little bit of a concern there, and then Jay Hay, with two outs, he grounds to first. Then top of the fifth inning, that's where the Diamondbacks started to put some runs across. That's where Glasnow was coming a little unraveled there and starts off good. I mean, Suarez, he fouled to the catcher for the first out. Then he walks Moreno on five pitches. So that really put the wheels in motion for a crooked number inning for the Diamondbacks because next batter, Newman, I feel like Seinfeld, he singles to center. That sets the D-backs up with runners on first and third. And next batter, Corbin Carroll, it's a 1-2 count. Then he fouls off the fourth pitch, a four-seam fastball right in the middle of the zone. Looked like it was laid on it. And then they go with that curveball down the zone. And Corbin Carroll, he tripled to right. That put two runs across. The Diamondbacks take a 2-0 lead. And my question is, that pitch sequencing was a little off, in my opinion. I think you look at the pitch right here.
Corbin Carroll sends it to right center. That drops in and gets to the wall. Moreno's home. Newman coming home. Corbin Carroll heads for third with a two-run triple. And it's 2-0.
And he makes it all the way to third. He had been struggling this season. And I think in that situation, he's fouling off the four-seamer on the first pitch of the at-bat. And then he swings and misses at the slider in the bottom of the zone. I would have either stuck with the slider there, but go with another fastball up in the zone. And I don't think that he's hitting a triple. I just think the location, the choice, the selection there kind of hung it, left it up a little bit. And he could handle it. And that really was the difference in the game. When you look at this Dodgers offense, Hayward bobbles it just a little bit. Didn't have an impact on the play. He makes it into third sliding. And that gave that Diamondbacks team all the runs and momentum they needed in that one. He bounced back, got Marte to ground to pitcher, Peterson flied to left, but the pitch count also was high too. I mean, they were already having his pitch count up there in the 90s at that point. You know he wasn't going to come out for the sixth. And then Dodgers, he ends up throwing a wild pitch, and they get another run. So that made it 3-0 Diamondbacks. He bounced that curveball, goes as a wild pitch. So not a good crisp inning, just an ugly inning for that Dodgers team right there. Carroll, he scored on the wild pitch. He gets the triple to score two. They get three runs on two hits, and it just was not pretty baseball for your Los Angeles Dodgers. The execution was just not where it needed to be. Then bottom of the fifth inning, Kike, leadoff single. The Dodgers had so many opportunities in this one. Like I said, 0-for-8 with runners in scoring position. Kike, and a lot of times you had men on base early. You had leadoff walks, leadoff singles. Kike gets a leadoff single. And then Mookie Betts, he draws a six-pitch walk to set the Dodgers up with runners on first and second. No outs. Shohei Ohtani didn't love the at-bat from Shohei. First pitch, kind of a big swing. He flies to center. And then Freddie Freeman, runners on first and third. So Ohtani, he flies out, still a productive out because the runner advances to third. And you have first and third, one out. And this at bat for Freddie Freeman, he strikes out swinging on a fastball right in the middle of the zone. So the big concern tonight, Andy Páez, Freddie Freeman, a lot of guys that you know can hit the baseball, you know that can get on top and handle fastballs, hey, they were struggling. And Freddie Freeman, you definitely need to see more, especially in those situations. This team looks like it misses Max Muncy at the moment. Then next inning, the sixth, you have Eliezer Hernandez in the game. 0-1 to Christian Walker. Christian Walker against the Dodgers. I hate Christian Walker. Christian Walker, please. I mean, can just not play against the Dodgers, okay? He ends up crushing a bomb. He homers to center, 417 feet. His 22nd home run against the Dodgers makes it 4-0. They tack on another run. And then you look at the bottom of the sixth. So a 4-0 game. Ton of outs left. This explosive Dodgers offense, you know they can score. You know that they can make this interesting. And they get another opportunity against Nelson. Teoscar Hernandez, leadoff single to right. Gavin Lux, a leadoff single to left. Another multi-hit game for Gavin Lux. So that's definitely a Michelada half full tank. And with runners on first and second, no outs, Andy Páez, he hits a ball. Marte, he fields it at second. Teoscar Hernandez is caught in no man's land, and they double him up. So really just kind of wrong place at the wrong time type of play. A very unlucky play if you're the Dodgers. But that really was a momentum-killing double play in that situation. So Andy Páez had a couple opportunities tonight. He wasn't able to come through. He had the strikeout earlier in the game, and then he had the double play there in the sixth. And then he had a pitching change. Martinez comes in, and Hayward, he flied to left. So, yeah. Had two hits, got no runs to show for it. Previous inning, you had a runner on third, couldn't cash in. So many opportunities. There's no reason why this Dodgers team was supposed to get shut out. I can see losing. You're going to lose baseball games, but they should not have gotten shut out. You should not have put up a bagel tonight if you are the Los Angeles Dodgers. And then you jump to the eighth inning, top of the eight. Yarbrough in there, 1-1 pitch to Marte. He crushes a bomb to left. That goes as a solo shot to put the Diamondbacks up 5-0. If you could read Yarbrough's lips, he was trying to will it to go foul. It hits the netting on the foul pole. It goes as a bomb. He's got his fingers up pointing at the bullpen. Marte, he's been doing his thing, his 10th home run of the season. Then, a couple of batters later, Walker, the Dodgers killer, he doubled to left. Then Gurriel Jr., he singled to left. That set them up nicely with runners on the corners again. Grichik, he lined to third. But Walker then scored on a pass ball by Will Smith to make it 6-0. So the Diamondbacks get a run on a pass ball by Will Smith. They get a run on a wild pitch by Tyler Glasnow. So those are two runs that could have been prevented. You had the wild pitch, you had the pass ball, and then they get two runs on four hits there. So too many hits given up by Ryan Yarbrough. He just wasn't spotting it well, leaving it a little too out over the plate, and he doesn't have a lot of margin for error with his pitches. And then really nothing doing for the Dodgers after that. So that pretty much was the game. And hey, like I said, you're going to lose games, right? You're going to lose a lot of games in Major League Baseball. You can't win them all. But I think it's the way in which they lost that makes this a frustrating loss for the Dodgers. And I think other big takeaway from this one is Mookie. I mean, the throwing error that Mookie Betts had in the third inning, where Newman was safe at first on that throwing error by Mookie Betts, it's concerning. And you could read Mookie's lips, and he said, "The sorry glass, my bad glass, my bad glass." And look, this is nothing against Marcus Lynn Betts. This guy's one of the best athletes, one of the best players in the sport, but it's asking a lot for him to play that position at age 31. I was talking with Dino Ebel today, and he told me that Mookie Betts is obsessive. He said Mookie is obsessed with being a big league shortstop and playing it at an adequate level. And anytime you're obsessed, it's going to lead to fatigue mentally. And I think that you're starting to see from his body language, maybe it's just, you guys let me know. Are you guys seeing what I'm seeing? From a body language standpoint, he gave Teoscar Hernandez the stink eye a couple games ago when Teo should have came in and caught that fly ball. Of course, that's the outfielder's ball. Today, wasn't able to make the throw. It's just not fluid and not as smooth as you want to see. And I think it's just because of reps. I mean, had Mookie played shortstop the last decade, he would be better at it. But it's one of the most difficult positions in all of sports to play at an above average level, and to expect him to be able to do this, it's just a little bit unfair. I think you almost have to save Mookie from himself, because the reason why he's going to be a Hall of Famer is because he believes in himself. And yeah, you should bet on Betts, right? He's a great player, but the good thing is this is not bleeding into his offense yet. He's still an extremely productive player at the plate. He ends up going 1-for-3 tonight. He had the double. He had a walk, so he reached base twice. Ohtani goes 1-for-4. He hits a single. Freddie goes 0-for-4. Batting average down to .286. So this is Freddie Freeman, man. 59 doubles, 29 home runs last season. Hit, I think, around .326 last year. So definitely a little bit of concern. Smith goes 0-for-3. Teo goes 1-for-1. Lux goes 2-for-4. So the only multi-hit game for the Dodgers tonight was Gavin Lux. They get 6 hits in this one. Got out hit 9-6. You had the error by Mookie Betts. So error by Betts. Didn't lead to a run. But still, the wild pitch by Glass. And then the pass ball by Will Smith. So that just was not a fun one. But you got the game broken down here. And I think Eliezer Hernandez, not a guy that's going to be a big part of this team now or in the future, right? When guys get healthy, he gives up the home run. But yeah, we got the Father Time is catching up to Freddie. Freeman is lost in the shadow of Ohtani. That's from Boomer Assassin. Jose Canseco played cleaner games than this Dodgers offense. It's a fire take. I love that take. It's a finisher and a fire take. What up, Moose 1032? How you doing, my man? Bo won't solve all our problems. We got Paul Ringgold. D-Bags had their playoff energy. Unfortunately, so did the Dodgers. So that's a finish him.
Finish
and a fire
him.
Take, too. Yeah, exactly. I mean, this Dodgers team is definitely getting some playoff vibes for sure. Definitely felt very playoff vibes. But look, let's put things into context. Let's not overreact. It's 2 losses. Still figuring some things out. And I also think that, I don't want to say it's a good thing, but from an evaluation and assessment standpoint, I think this organization is starting to kind of get the hint maybe from Mookie Betts. Just from his body language standpoint, I've been at the, it feels like I've been at Dodger Stadium every day for the last week. And if you would see the amount of work that Mookie Betts puts in at shortstop position, backhands, glove side range, working on the throws, it's not for lack of effort. It is absolutely not for lack of effort. But like Daniel, let's all panic us from Daniel. Look, you guys know that I've never been on board with the Mookie Betts at shortstop thing full time. Pretty much seems like everyone in the Dodgers media was, right? I just didn't love the idea of it from the standpoint that it's such a difficult position to play that requires a level of activity that is just next level, right? And not to say Mookie can do it. I just don't think it was the best thing for this team in the long run. But look, he's still getting better and getting more experience, and we'll see what the Dodgers decide to do, because the minute they move off of him at short, then you have to move off of Gavin Lux, and Gavin Lux is playing better. Is he playing better to the point where they think that, okay, we got to move Mookie back to right instead of moving off Gavin Lux? So it gets really complicated. They got to make a difficult decision one way or the other. Would Mookie really want to do that to Jason Hayward? Probably not. Hayward's defense, Jason Hayward made a great play in foul territory to get an out today. His defense has been really good. What's up, Anthony Keene, my man? By the way, we're working on the mass production of these hats, guys. So don't think I forgot about that. It's just it's a process to get a ton made. And once we get them made, we'll be sending them. Grove, Lux, and Taylor gone. Give a mouse, D-backs, a cookie. He's going to ask for a glass of milk. That's a comment of the show from Diane Schroeder. We have been struggling with SD and Arizona. Good point. Fire take. The fire take from Adrian Salazar. Dodgers 2024 World Series champion. Same problems as yesterday. Orlando, guys, it's not over. Yeah, I don't think anyone thinks it's over, right? 499 Super Chat. What up, Richard Flores? Offense is as meaningless as a Kardashian family values. It wasn't the D-backs' efforts that beat us. It was the Dodgers that mentally checked out. Look at how tip or cap sometimes, right? I mean, anytime the Dodgers hit a home run, we don't talk about the pitcher, right? And how it was a mistake pitch. We just celebrate the home run, right? And so, like Mookie points out, I mean, they drive Benzes too, right? They're big league players as well. Sometimes you got to tip your cap. And Nelson's had success against this team. Walker's had success against this team. But still, there's no excuse for this team not scoring a run tonight. It was a sloppy game. Wasn't well played baseball. I don't want to say they're mentally checked out. Definitely looking a little gassed. And it's going to happen through the course of a 162-game season. I think it's a good time for a day off and a good time for a road trip to go to Cincinnati, go to New York. And you always see players a little more locked in and focused on the road because you need to be to win. So I still feel good about this team. And look, I'm in full evaluation mode, full assessment mode. I'm thinking about what happens on a game in and game out basis that could impact the postseason, right? Mookie's missed throw, I'm thinking postseason. You want him in that situation where you need him to really be the catalyst and the spark plug for this offense that's worrying about making routine throws at shortstop? No, you do not. I think I'll end up being right about that eventually. I'd be stroking. Dodgers have a bunch of nice guys on the team. Where's that dog? We got Agent Salazar. Shout out to Tonic from Antonio. My man Antonio, man. Tony Taters, super producer, my man. Freeman too busy signing, releasing DFA, and calling up, sending down countless mediocre reliever projects to worry about SS or center fielder. hey, there's a rhyme and a reason, man. Yarbrough fan club has been DFA'd. Hey, Chief, no. It's one bad start. The Yarbroughs still live, okay? I'm still rocking with the Yarbroughs. Los Doyers need to really, really make that switch with Ohtani and Freeman. Got to see if this helps. We are already losing games. What else we got to lose? I think they're going to stick with this for sure. I think you miss Max Muncy. I mean, let's not forget, Max Muncy is a dangerous hitter. Going to leave the yard. He's having a really good year at the plate. And Freddie has had slumps. He has had times where his mechanics just haven't been where he loves them. And he always finds a way to get out of this, okay? And look, it's going to be okay. Look, let's not forget, a couple games removed from him hitting a grand slam. But like I always say, it takes more than one game to get in a slump and more than one game to get out of a slump. But Walker is a free agent this offense, so let's hope he leaves the National League West. Yeah, please. I will drive you to the airport, Walker. He's going to probably join a team that's for some reason going to be a nemesis. But how much did you guys pay? How does it feel to be beaten by the D-backs now? Wow. Thanks, X for the fire team. The silly emojis. Why is Boogie throwing sidearm? By the way, yeah, I mean, Dodgers have so many stadiums. There's Dodger Stadium. That's one. There's Petco Park. That's two. There's Chase Field, that's three, and there's Oracle Park. So thank you for building one of our stadiums, because we know that you can even win World Series and go to World Series and you're still be outnumbered by Dodgers fans, okay? Kelly O'Shea, why is Mookie throwing sidearm? The ball needs to be thrown harder from short over hand. I mean, look, just because you have a good arm doesn't mean you have a good arm for shortstop, right? Because there's a little more fluidity to it. Big league shortstops, doesn't matter where they field it, they can pop up and throw lasers to first base. And Mookie, it's more of a process where he has to set his feet, think about the mechanics. And this all really traces back to Gavin Lux's inability to take over this position, because that was option A. So that kind of put the wheels in motion for this whole experiment. So Juan Jimenez, Mookie. So let's not forget, Mookie stepped up for this team and said, you know what? Screw it. I'll do it myself. Right. And that was the mentality that he had. And we'll see. I'm not writing him off. Absolutely not. But D-Mac, salute. What up, Roy? Focus on your team, X. Tyler struggling. I wouldn't say he's struggling. I mean, through four innings, he looked like the best pitcher in baseball, right? I mean, his high points are as high as it gets. And 17 swings and misses in five innings. It's just, yeah, I didn't love the sequence there. Like I said, Corbin Carroll, I think you got to go with more hard stuff up in the zone and not a curveball that you kind of left up. So I think it was a sequencing issue there and got to get credit, but still a blowout count. Who cares about Lux's hits that don't amount to any runs? Yeah, look, I mean, that's the thing. I mean, when you look at the big sample, you have to weigh just how much his offense impacts winning and how big of a plus is his defense at second base, because it's the situation for me where it's like, it's a sunk cost fallacy, right? I mean, do you want Lux to continue on in this role because he was a former top prospect, because he's under a lot of team control, so he's affordable from that standpoint. Are there guys in the organization that say, you know what, that's my guy, I want to be right, because if he's not, I might lose my job, that kind of stuff. So I wouldn't say it's high stakes like that, but I think there's a lot of guys that are heavily invested in Lux having success for this team. And look, the good thing is Lux had a two-hit game tonight, so his offense continues to trend in the right direction, but he's also playing the position that I think Mookie Betts should be playing. I mean, do you try to play Gavin Lux back at shortstop? I think he has the possibility of being rangier, and he's a little more athletic right now, right? So I don't know if they'd consider doing that. In fact, Andrew Friedman told me that they're going to reevaluate at the end of the season with Gavin Lux, so that tells me they're not going to try that again at this point. But Kelly, Mookie is throwing like a second baseman. Super chat, appreciate you. 27SEK from Tom O'Gorman. Let's go, D-Mac, tuning in from Europe as per usual. Thank you so much, Tom. We appreciate you watching and listening, loving your Los Angeles Dodgers all the way in Europe. So you get a comment of the show. Smells. Bichette is the answer from Jinjo Star. We got, dang, nah, this team is not going to make it to the World Series. Okay, that's a little bit of a reaction. Broman74, dude, question. Should Páez be option? Páez has another 0 for 4, 2Ks game, 30% strikeout rate, 3% walk rate in the last 15 games, batting 150 and terrible batting. Let's move on. Broman74, I think you got to give him a couple more weeks, at least a month, really, based on how hot his start was, to see if he can get back to the guy he was that was hitting the ball hard, that was giving you extra base hits. So they're going to do that. And you have long enough of a time period, and the fact that you're cruising in your division, you're only 3-4 games within having the best record in all of baseball on any given night, to say, look, you're going to use this to see what you have and evaluate which internal options, whether it be guys coming up from the minors, guys currently on the roster, guys currently on the roster that are stuck in slumps that you want to see get out of it. And then if you don't think that those guys are the answer and are going to be a big piece of this World Series puzzle, then you go to market and then you add a bat, you add an arm, you add a different piece because you have the prospect capital to get it done. So this is a necessary evil. Right now, this is something that you need to experience and go through if you're the Dodgers to fully feel like, okay, we've exhausted our options. We have a full evaluation assessment of these guys, and we know we have. And I think that they're still in that process. But so good to have Hayward back. That's from Tom O'Gorman. Yeah, it really is. Some stability, great situational hitting, a veteran, great defense, and yeah, also the intangibles. Peterson is the devil. Okay, you guys are talking about Jock Peterson. Couple more here, guys, and like I said, we're going to be back tomorrow morning. Dodgers Dugout Live, Trade Talk Thursday. We'll be talking about some trade options, and we're going to also be talking about Mookie Betts at shortstop. I'm going to drop that interview with Dino Ebel. Some really interesting things to say about Shohei Ohtani's base running, about Mookie at shortstop, Chris Taylor. Tell the team it's only May, Adam 818. Yeah, exactly. I mean, let's tell this team, like, hey, it's May. That's Dodgers winning season, right? Revenge of the Nerds from Benjamin. Just get someone else at shortstop, please. That's from SK. Don't talk about a World Series. We don't have a real ring. That's from Adam 818. I don't know about that, because you do realize that the Dodgers didn't start their franchise in 2020, and that ring, to me, still is a good ring. I mean, it only became a Mickey Mouse ring when your team didn't win the World Series, right? So, but guess what? The Dodgers have 88, right? They have 81, which is actually a shortened series, but you also have 65, 63, 59, 55. So you got with the rings. We got y'all leave Mookie alone. At least he ain't Francisco Lindor. What up, Juice Narrows? What up, my man? Always repping. We got another 27 SCK from Tom. CT3 couldn't even get a home run off of Lance Lynn. It's a fire day. It's just funny. But, yep, guys, that's going to do it. We got a 499 Super Chat. Jason B. Anaheim Stadium used to be called the Big A. I petition to call Dodger Stadium the Big D. Yeah, then you can commemorate. You can commemorate Don Drysdale, the Big D. Dodger Stadium, the Ravine. For sure. D-Mac, you've seen a lot of baseball. Think Mookie's a real shortstop? Is he a real shortstop? I think there's a big difference in can he play shortstop at the big league level when you consider what he does offensively and justify him there? I think, yeah, there's a case to be made that you can do that, but is he a natural shortstop in the way he plays when you look at other big league shortstops? To me, that's it would be tough to say yes just because you look at how guys like Lindor or Miguel Rojas, for example, I mean, there's just such a fluidity, and it's really an art form to play that position, and it just takes a lot of time to get really good at it at this level. I mean, it's just extremely, extremely difficult. It's like going from, you know, just using like learning just basic timetables and math to go into like AP calculus or something like that. You know, I don't know. It's just a crazy jump to go into that shortstop position and expect to make all the routine plays and then make the highlight plays. You know what I'm saying? It's going from rookie mode to all Madden. It's very different to see that, how that difficulty, and it's commendable. Like I said, what Mookie Betts, there's 99% of superstars would be like, are you effing kidding me? You want me to play shortstop? None would do this. Only Mookie Betts, the heart of a champion. And let's not forget, he's still producing at the plate offensively. I just think that it's extremely difficult to expect this. But give Páez 150 plate appearances to Los Doyers. It's a fire take. I agree with that. Should we trade Freeman? Definitely not Tommy. He's still one of the best hitters in the game. But, yep, guys, we're going to take all your questions tomorrow for Dodgers Dugout Live. Thanks, Shane Rochester. Hepatitis, see you later. L. Edbert, not enough fire. Robert Snight, V-Track. Someone earlier said, fire Roberts, then hire Roberts, and fire him again. You guys are just insane, and that's what I love about Dodgers fans and Dodgers Nation. The best fans in the game, and there is no close second. But that's going to do it for this episode of Dodgers Dugout Live. My name is Doug McCain. You can follow me on X and Instagram at DMAC_LA. If you haven't yet, be sure to subscribe to the channel. Hit that subscribe button. Hit that notification bell. Hit that like button. We got Tony Taters, Tonio, in the comments section. Big Van Halen guy. But that's going to do it for this episode. And remember, nothing brings together quite like Dodger baseball. And until next time, think blue.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, didn't see that coming, and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.